Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And they were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way you get all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Also, don't forget to give the series a rating, leave a review. Those always help so much. We've had some great guests on lately, including Rudy Mancuso talking about the new movie Musica. Actor Hamish Linklater was here. He plays Abraham Lincoln in Apple TV Plus's Manhunt. We spoke with Gary Clark Jr., actress Danielle McDonald from The Tourist, Sheryl Crow, Desi Leidig from The Daily Show, The Jesus and Mary Chain, The Veronicas, John Bradley from Game of Thrones talking about Three-Body Problem, Adrian Linker of Big Thief, Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect, Chris Robinson of The Black Crows, Joe Keery of Stranger Things and Fargo fame, and of course our 900th episode special featuring Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Gracie Abrams, actor Michael C. Hall, Dolly Parton, Michael Shannon, Sarah Silverman, Shelley Hennig, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with actors George McKay and Nathan Stewart Jarrett. Had Nathan on just last year talking about Culprits. And in fact, we'll retrace our steps there. What we're really discussing, though, this time is the new movie Femme. It's a gay revenge thriller about this character, Jules, who as Aphrodite Banks has a place among London's celebrated drag artists. And then one night after a show, he steps out to get some cigarettes and is brutally attacked by a man out with a gang of his friends. And although Jules is able to recover physically, he withdraws from the outside world, traumatized. Months later, he recognizes his attacker by chance in a gay sauna. And without makeup and wrapped only in a towel, Jules is able to approach the other man incognito and find out who he is and begins an affair with the closeted Preston with a plan to take his revenge. It is a beautiful movie. It is a very dark and heavy movie at the same time. I want to talk to both actors about the duality of their characters. George is going to talk about championing big roles he's loved in the past, such as John Leguizamo's Tybalt, while Nathan describes the mental and physical adjustments he had to make coming off of the show Culprits. Both actors are also going to talk about the internal acting and self-hatred that the roles demanded, what it was like working with two directors, Sam H. Freeman and Ng Chun Ping, as well as what it was like once the cameras were off. All that and more, we're talking Femme. It's Kyle Meredith with George McKay and Nathan Stewart Jarrett.
How's it going? Good to see you too.
Nathan, last time you and I were talking, we were talking about you rolling around in a dumpster in
yes. Culprits,
so.
Yeah.
I will say, when we were having that conversation, I'm jumping right into here. when we were having that conversation and I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing Femme, I don't think I understood the weight that you must have been carrying waiting for this movie to come out. Let me compliment the both of you. It is a dark movie. It is a beautiful movie at the same time. And both of you all deserve every award that is out there. So I absolutely love the performances.
Thank you
so much. That's really, really kind.
Why did you all want to tell this story? Because it is. It's a very, very heavy piece.
Well, the why is for Salmon Ping, the initial why is for Salmon Ping. The why for me is the script. That the heaviness of the piece is one thing, but the script is really beautiful. It's nuanced and it's tragic, and I it was just so powerful. I thought that it was classical and economic, and I just thought that I was like, I need to be part of this. The heaviness was like another thing, but I need to be part of this. I need to be part of the story that's being told. And then, you know, you think about things politically and you think about things in terms of, they talk about subverting the genre, and of course you want to be at the forefront of posing those questions. But I just thought these characters and the way they're entwined is kind of amazing.
George, you know, I'll throw this one to you too. I mean, you know, so much of great acting to me, you know, is about uncovering an identity to find some sort of truth. You know, for you to come into this, to embody a character like this, I mean, it's impressive. It feels like art. How did, you know, what was it for you and how did you approach it?
Oh, thank you very much. Firstly, that was, I mean, similar to Nathan, it's the script. The script is so beautiful, so tight. It is the film. And therefore, you know, the kind of broader reverberations of this story and the questions it hopefully will kind of prompt, like the broader reverberations aside, as an actor, like these parts, and for me, Preston is just absolute gold. You know, to have a character that is so, there's written with such nuance and such clarity, and to have such a kind of like deep contradiction at their center, and then to have the way in which they cover that up and have that revealed sort of be a massive character in itself was just a dream. Like, and I think a lot of the performances that I've grown up loving are big performances. I think of like John Leguizamo as Tybalt, or Stephen Graham as Combo in This Is England. They're like big Daniel Day-Lewis, Daniel Plainview, like kind of scene chewing kind of performances. But I mean, there's an operatic level to so many of the performances I've been inspired by. And there is something kind of operatic about Preston's performance of himself that then you're then kind of, but it's built on such a nuance given the, you know, the amazing writing that Salmon Ping have given us. It was just an absolute, you know, it was a golden role, despite being, you know, a rather complex and difficult man.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with George McKay and Nathan Stewart Jarrett. I did go into it not exactly reading the whole logline or synopsis or anything, and
that's
funny. I feel like it was really the best way to kind of,
yeah, man, yeah, totally to get surprised and to not know or to not be watching it. I think that would be the best thing.
Yeah, Nathan, for you, I mean, and coming off of Culprits, you know, which had its own thing. What was it like transitioning from one to the other? I mean, do you have to stay in a state of mind for something like this?
It was a huge adjustment. I think in terms of emotionally, mentally, there was something very, very different in a sense of that Culprits, I had to feel very, very capable all the time, even though things were kind of slipping through Joe's fingers. And actually, for a bit of the beginning of the movie, Femme, Jules feels completely powerless. And so I the starting point was very, very, very different in a sense. Physically, that was really kind of a journey of just being kind of as big as I've ever been. Maybe ever will be, who knows? It was just a tank, just eating all the eggs and all the meat and chicken. And having to kind of slim down to be Jules, and to not in a weird way be kind of frail by any means, but just be a little more slender and actually just be smaller than George, or attempting to be smaller than George. But the adjustment, the emotional adjustment was quite big. Weirdly, though, both characters are extremely internal. Jules does a lot of watching, and I watched George so much, to the point at which we were just discussing that I can't really remember the film as an actor. It's like, so Culprits I can remember as an actor. I'm like, well, you did this and you did that, and then that person was in the scene. I can only remember George in scenes and like maybe the surroundings, but I can never really remember what I was doing. So I almost encountered it as if it were me. So that was weird. But I was just watching George because they're both really, really internal people, both very, very secretive. So in that sense, I was just like a continuation of just not talking that much. But yeah, very, very, very secretive, very internal. But one actually not, but neither were that powerful, but one really not being as powerful as the other.
It's noticeable how much acting both of you do with your eyes in this, because I think that's the game of chess during the moments where those are happening. I mean, it really is. It's all happening right there, as like it's. I don't even know how you can talk about doing that, because I mean, people talk about the art of acting and what you have to think and but when it comes to just looks.
People's, I mean, the greats, they always say act like the best acting is listening, and it's not a lie. Like, and sometimes you're not just listening to what someone else is saying. Like, I had this thing, and you know, George had like all these rings and like tattoos on his hands. I had a thing about George's hands, and it was actually the very first day of filming that kind of came to me. You know, we're doing the date scene, and George was sitting there, you know, chatting away and you know, like over steak and blah blah, and it's all this stuff, all this gesticulation and like playing the big man in this restaurant. And I was just like looking at his hands just flying at me. And I was like, well, those are the hands that hurt you. Like those are the things that committed the crime, and destroyed George's life. And so throughout the filming, luckily this is the first day, throughout the filming, I just really watched George. I was always aware of where George's hands were, because I was like, well, at any second these hands could come back and hit you. And it's, in a weird way, it was a gift. I was like, well, that's like a form of listening. So even though he's talking, I was just like just focused on his hands, and if my eyes flicked down unconsciously, then that would be fine. And so I think sometimes you find those things, and it might be an accident of, I don't know, you were doing some, you were talking at one point, you were talking and you were like waving your knife around or something, and I was like, Jesus. It's like God. And so you just get these gifts, and you listen and hope that, pray that the camera and the audience are picking up what you're thinking.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with George MacKay and Nathan Stewart Jarrett. The duality that both of these guys kind of have to carry the whole time. And George, I'll throw this one to you too, because there is this, like, on top of everything, I mean, you are representing a very different queer story than I'm used to seeing. A very violent queer story, with this oppression and regression that seems to be built up inside. Like, where did you have to go to find this guy?
That was funny. It's interesting. I guess there was the initial attack that happens, that is the sort of spark of this relationship. I remember we filmed it, and there was that day, and then there was a day that Sam and Ping said, we need some extra stuff of Preston in the edit, and we picked up a shot almost from Jules's point of view, and the direction I got on the day was basically just say everything to yourself. Say, either hype yourself up, telling yourself what you are, or get angry at yourself. And so all of that stuff, like, I'm the big man, who's the big man? Who's the big man? Who's the big man? It's all self-hatred as well that's been directed at Jules. But it's him, he hates himself because of this kind of blocky way that he sees it. He's sort of been programmed to not to accept, or for who, for the aspect of his identity that is his sexuality, does not chime with the other parts that he is sort of like feels fundamentally rooted in or safe in, or is his environment. And is also like legitimately part of him, that sort of like tough masculinity. We've spoken about that he is. I think it's sort of Preston has a sort of a lack of nuance in the way that he sort of thinks he sees things quite, which is actually, ironically, and this is maybe a bit broad brushstrokes, but quite a masculine thing to see things quite black and white. Like, you know, it's clear, it's either this or it's that, you know, and that sort of, he in himself has got two opposing things, which he kind of can't compute, that those things can't exist together, you know, because that's not my understanding of what either of those two things are, because a mixture of just who he is or what he's been told or what the world has decided to say. And that's, he's just at war with himself. So it was kind of just like, just rooting at that basically. And I mean, you just do it. You know, you, I sort of understood that. And so we just kind of do that. And almost, I guess what you're saying about the eyes and also about how to find that's something that Sam and Ping were so brilliant as a directing duo, is that often if you'd speak to them together, and it wouldn't always be the same way round, but one would give you a very practical note in terms of what the story needed or what the shot needed in terms of like, this is what the audience need to read in that moment. And it was like a kind of out of the scene practical thing, like, can you give us that? And then the other one would give you a note that would be much more sort of metaphorical or poetic in how to get to that note. And so, like, an example of that is the dinner scene that Nathan talked about. It was like the moment where I sort of, Jules says, do you have a girlfriend? I'm like, oh, you just want to be taken out by a bit of rough. This is the type of person that you want me to be. And that kind of moment where actually Preston was having a lovely time up to that point. And Sam told me, and it was actually in the audition, but again, when we did it, he was like, this is the point in the story where Preston fundamentally misses Jules, and we need to see that change and him decide to be what he thinks Jules want him to be. And then Ping came along and was like, if this was a rom-com, you've got a ring in your back pocket, you're about to propose, and he's just broken up with you. And I was like, and it was just like, it was great, because I was like, okay, this is A to B, what I have to do, and this is the car I have to drive in. Great, you know, and then it's really clear, you know.
I love that you were like kind of getting these beautiful like opposing notes, and I was busy trying to like play them off against each other. And I was like, "This is how I want. Who's going to give me the answer that I want?"
Yes. I will say, I mean, the attack scene was harrowing and scary for the viewer and beautifully shot at the same time. And the bathtub scene and the way the candles are, and it looked like a painting. And there are so many moments. And I'll just close up by asking this too. When those cameras went off, what was that like? I mean, are you guys able to kind of lift? Do you inject humor to get through it? I mean, you know, what are those moments like when the camera, when they say cut?
I mean, first of all, just the bathroom scene, James Rhodes DOP is a genius, and I would love to just kind of take him everywhere I go as an actor. He's just amazing. I don't know, it's weird because weirdly, and I think we both said this, it's a really confronting film, but I personally had a great time shooting it. And I felt very safe and yeah, just really supported. And when the cameras went off, of course, there's sometimes a little bit of residue, but it really, I didn't feel battered and alone, even though I was being battered and was quite alone whilst filming, you know, in the scenes. And I do remember I knew that I was going to be a little heartbroken, because Jules is heartbroken. And so I took a little moment at the end, well, it was quite a long moment, at the very end of shooting to kind of repair. But it really, I don't know, it's kind of a lovely shoot.
Well,
Yeah.
it's a beautiful movie, and I say that with the understanding of what this movie is and does. And that ending, man, seriously, I hope you really all do win all the awards. I really do mean that. And it's been such a pleasure to watch it. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you both about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
And my thanks to George and Nathan Fim now playing. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists. Discover those new ones. Grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews and lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from MC5 and The Laws, Sheryl Crow, Steven Sanchez, Beastie Boys, Green Apple Quickstep, Gorillaz, M. Ward, Idols, LCD Sound System, The High Women, Wilson Pickett, Squirrel Nut Zippers, and my interview with Damon Albarn, frontman of Blur and Gorillaz. Again, just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Take care. Bye-bye.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.